Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order Monday, September 28th at 11:45 a.m. In absence of our secretary, I'd like to appoint Commissioner Magnuson, if you'd be willing to accept that today.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, does anybody have any changes to the agenda? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of the minutes from the September 14th meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of almost $2 million. General Manager Herron, anything on the bill payments this month or this term?
Chair Matter, I do not have anything further to add for you, much routine.
Okay. I'll be looking for a resolution for approval to the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
I have a resolution and a second. Any discussion?
My only question is on page 5, the Wink Association's environmental studies of August. Is that in the, what is that?
That is Wink Consulting. They are doing our environmental assessment phase 1 and phase 2 over at the power plant.
Okay, so that's part of the power plant.
Yeah. We're near completed. As we indicated earlier, in August, when we entered into a contract with them, we thought we would have the report back. However, at the end of the report, we added the distribution system, and there was some additional testing and work, environmental soil boring and stuff that we needed to do there. As we were looking at the plan specs from when it was installed, Wink indicated that our bedding, that our pipe was put in, could potentially be classified as contaminated in today's world. So we had to take a step back and do a little more investigation there. So they'll be addressing that in their report, but we're near completed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Lahmer?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Matter?
Aye. That resolution passes. Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have the update for the COVID-19 financial impact, and I'll turn it over to General Manager Herron.
Thank you, Chair Matter. Last update was July 13th. If it was appropriate to provide an update to the commission on where we're going, what do things look like. So as that said, we go to slide 2, bottom right-hand corner will be the slide numbers I'll be referencing as I change slides here, but if you want to follow along on your iPad. Late charges to date, through July, I shouldn't say to date, but through July, we waived $187,000. If you look at 2019, typically would have been 143, so our late penalties are up. That has to do a little bit with our delinquent. But nevertheless, in the past, that was part of our budget, and that's part of our revenue. And at this point, we have waived $187,000. Past due history, 30, 60, 90 days. Hold this to the bottom right hand corner of the slide. You see 90 days has flattened off in June. However, 90 days are sitting at $28,000 higher than they were last year at this time. So, but they flattened out. That's a good sign, at least in my opinion. Go on to slide 4, demand. Jeremy, would you be so kind to take that one?
Yep, so you've seen this table in previous presentations. The table in blue on the left is just a baseline trending over the last 6 years. Our system average for electric demand from January to March 14th, the pre-COVID time period, is 34.3 megawatts. You'll notice the bottom row in blue is just for the year 2020, and we're at 32.4. So our trend was 5.5% below the 6-year average before we entered this COVID time period. The table on the black shows when the stay-at-home order started here in our area until September 15th. Again, the first row is the 6-year average, 3.3 megawatts, and then the bottom row there is the 2020 value for our COVID time period, which is 32.1. That's only 3.6% lower than the 6-year average. So the information here doesn't support any reduction in electric demand due to COVID-19 right now. But again, our electric demand is very heavily tied to weather, and that varies from year to year. Any questions on these numbers? Thank you.
Then as we go on to slide five, that's our KWH sales, somewhat related to demand, but not totally. And I'll explain the difference between KWH and demand right after this slide here. As you can see here, if you look in light blue, June, our sales were just a tick below last year, June. However, in July, we exceeded. If you look at February through July, 2019 and 2018, we're still 2.5% under our KWH sales. Again, commercial industrial is lagging, residential is up 4%, commercial and industrial is down. And the commercial side that's down is mainly our hospitality industry, if you look at the data. Now, why is demand basically, running parallel with other years, and energy is down. Demand, even in the hospitality industry, being shut down. Say a restaurant, if they open up one day a month and they fire up their burners, they set their demand. While they would have not used the KWH to prepare the food, etc., the demand is still there. So customers utilize the demand regardless of how much energy they use. So that's why demand, you would see, as Jared noted, there's no support for reduction in demand. And that would be why. Then we go to the electric revenue side, slide six. You can see there too, July, the last month on here, that our revenue has exceeded last year's 2019. $300,000. Again, residential is driving that, commercial industrial is down slightly, 3.6% down. So we get to the water side, water looks very similar. Go on to slide seven and move over to the water side of our operation. Again, 90 days, same trend as the electric. It's flattened out here in June, end of June, July, which is a good sign. And we're sitting at 90 days at $6,500 higher than last year. I go on to slide eight. Sales, a little different on the water side than on the electric side on our commodity sales. Both June and July, our sales have exceeded 2019. And we look on the right side on the chart there, we're 82 versus 83 cubic feet, million cubic feet. So we're up about 450,000 cubic feet in sales. Again, it's on the residential side, commercial, industrial down about 8%. I go on to slide nine, we look at the revenue. There we see May, June, and July all up. They're up, well actually the whole year is up. It's up because of our rate increase. And when you factor in the rate increase on the revenue side in the water, 20% rate increase, we're actually trending 1.6% ahead of where we would have expected to be with the rate increase. So water side, very positive. Really not seeing any effects. Even with the hospitality industry lagging, we're not seeing the effects of COVID. So, slide 10, potential financial losses. When we went into this, we estimated that our disconnect fees would be minimal. Our late charges, we estimated 3 months, $75,000. So far to date, as I noted earlier, we're sitting at $187,000. Bankruptcies are still to come. So far we have two of them, but I would venture to guess we'll be receiving notices tied to COVID a year from now yet. So it'll be a while before we'll know the true impact of our bankruptcies. Revenue losses, again on the electric side, $325,000 is the exact number there. That we're short, I said earlier on the side, probably was around 400, but here we have the number 325. The water side, we're 14,000 ahead. So that's taking into consideration 20% rate adjustment. We looked at a total financial loss at $3,025,000 right now. We're sitting at $499,000. We're under our estimated costs when the COVID started, and we looked at what the potential negative impact could be on us. So unless we get hit really hard with bankruptcies, I would say when this is said and done, we should be well under $3 million unless there's a second round here of COVID that's going to require the governor to shut down the economy again, or the federal government to shut down the economy. So in summary, the last slide, 11, potential losses, I kind of recapped that already, $3 million. We delayed $2.5 million. Capital projects, 2.2, O&M was $244,000. That difference all of our potential losses and what we're projecting would have been covered through our catastrophic fund balance that we have set aside at $3 million. So hopefully we won't get anywhere close to that. But I think they're looking now. So, any questions on the update?
When you say on the potential, potential financial losses, the late fees to date, and it says waive there, we can still collect those, can't we, or can't? Oh, I thought the late fees you could collect afterwards, but.
Commissioner Lamar, no, that's a good question. There is not statute that prohibits us from charging those. However, back when the pandemic started, we were asked by the PUC not to charge late charges, not to disconnect anyone. COP, Community Utility Board, representing the citizens, they did a fair amount of marketing. They told all, basically the state of Minnesota, if you're getting receiving notices from the utilities that they're going to disconnect you and they're charging you penalties, let us know. We're going to push for legislation that prohibits munis and co-ops as well. The IOUs are prohibited from, because they're regulated by the PUC, they are prohibited from disconnecting. And they're going to carry that legislation over. Our lobbyists from down in D.C. about 3 weeks ago had told us there's still a strong push by organizations such as CUB that represents the citizen to mandate legislation prohibiting it. So MMUA has told us, be cautious and make sure that whatever we do, we document. And now we're coming into the cold weather rule that goes into effect, I believe, the 15th of October here. Yeah, so then there's additional protection there as well. But staff here, commend staff, they've been doing a very fine job with reaching out, sending out notices, working with customers to try and give them opportunity to pay, as well as encourage them to go to the agencies that may be able to help. And I think that has a little bit to do with the flattening of that trend of our 90 days past due. But we're doing all we can. We're monitoring that closely. I have learned in the last week, 2 weeks, a lot of co-ops have started disconnecting and charging disconnect fees. So internally, we started talking about, do we follow suit before there's legislation and pick up what we can, or how do we approach that? That's where it's at. So our fees that we have waived, the short answer is no, we will never get those back. They're waived.
Because I thought, and I don't remember everything for that Leadership Academy, but when people were talking and stuff, I thought some of those folks said that they were putting those down and would be collecting their late fees.
Other states, they have different rules and regs because it's driven by each state.
Yeah. And we live in the country.
There's some states out there that are, collecting already.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Justin, you're John?
Go ahead.
With, you're talking the late fees only, we still are able to collect for the energy charge, right?
Correct. Yep, it would be just waiving the late fees. The energy charges, their utility bill is still due, just the late charges were not applied to those bills, totaling $187,000 to date.
And how long can somebody not pay their bill and still.
Right, home forever.
Well, I mean, pay for the energy charge.
Yeah, we can't. Right now, Commissioner DeBleek, we are unable to actually collect. And when I say we're unable to, it's more or less, if I can refer to it as a gentleman's agreement with the PUC. We all signed, I shouldn't say we all, MMUA encouraged all utilities to send a resolution to the PUC back in probably April timeframe, stating that we would not charge late payment fees and we would not disconnect as a tool to use to try and prohibit legislation. So, and as of today, we do not have legislation yet that mandates it. So technically, we could apply, start today, the commission here at our meeting today, would indicate to staff here, let's start adding disconnect fees or late fees and start disconnecting. We could technically do that. So.
Commissioner Lammer.
Are the late fees, because of the, even if they're not paying their bill, they get a statement every month, don't they? And do you put the late fees on there and then put waived or anything, or are they not even put on there? Not even on there? Because I think at some point in time they should recognize that they've really gotten free money from the utilities by not having. And that maybe will just be a newspaper article at some point in time.
Ms. Johnson.
Could I clarify something on the late fees? The late fee is a 10% charge that is charged when they miss the due date. So if it's 30 days, then normally they'd be charged at 10%. Once they hit 60 days, 90 days, they're not charged another late fee. So it's a one-time late fee. And so with that said, if they miss that 30-day mark, they pay on day 32. But in the past, they would have been charged at 10% and they had to pay it. And so if you look at the 30, 60, 90 days past due, and I think, what were we on 90 days?
Total over last year.
Total right now and more over last year.
I think the electric was like 28 over last year, if I remember right.
Okay.
Yeah, 28,944 was over last year, but yeah, we're sitting at roughly 70,000.
So that late fee is only charged right up at the front side, so it's not an ongoing interest or penalty that they would be charged.
So even if they don't pay for 3 months, it's still only that?
Yep, it was that initial one.
Oh, okay.
We have, to expand on that even further, we have by statute, we have the three or four options that we have for assessing penalties. These are three or four that we have. And out of those three or four, many years back, the utility elected to do, which is a higher rate than 10%, on current charges. So that's how we arrived. That's why we charge the way we do for late penalties.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to say proposed or expected, but if there was legislation that were to come down, it would come down at the state level, not the federal level, I presume?
Could come either. There's discussion going on at federal level as well.
Okay. And the expectation that the duration of this would go on as long as there's a pandemic, I presume.
Commissioner Matt, that's a really good question. I have no idea. It's all politics.
All right.
Depends on legislatively where it goes, who pushes. There's some discussion that they would like to see, again, just discussion, that they would like to see utilities not charge late penalties or disconnect until 90 days after the governor lifts the pandemic status. So, and now we're coming into cold weather rules, so that already gives some degree of protection to the customer until April 15th.
April 15th.
Yeah, April 15th. So.
we haven't even begun to see what's all going to happen yet, because after that April date, there probably will be more, the potential, I guess, of more bankruptcies.
But like I said, keep in mind, too, our past dues have leveled off due to new staff's efforts. So I commend staff for their efforts they're doing with outreach and notifications and things of that nature. Even though we can't physically go disconnect, we put a lot of pressure, if I should use that term, to, collect. We're working with the customers. We let them know their past due. They get their past due notices. They get their phone calls, their text messages, and you're late, you're behind. Please pay, please call us, please make arrangements. So our staff is doing everything they can to encourage people to pay.
Our thanks to staff for that continued effort. All right, any final discussion on the topic? Thank you for the update on that. We will continue on with General Manager Heron and the EAA update.
Thank you, Chair Matter. EAA, felt it was appropriate to bring that in front of the commission, give you an update. So far this year, we have not charged any EAA. Our EAA and rate study was set on an annual basis. For this year, it's set at $56 or 5.6 cents. So we had estimated out to the end of the year to see where we would be at the end of the year with our wholesale power supply cost. As if we were going to need an EAA, it would be more appropriate to apply it this time of year than November, December. This time of year is when people expect power costs to be higher. So we had forecasted out to the end to see where we're going to end up. And it looks like we're going to end up right at 56 based on the data we have available for forecasting. So we do not, as we speak here today, anticipate a need for an EAA this year.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Next on the agenda, we have the approval for request for the city to place liens on properties for unpaid WMU bills. Ms. Johnson, are you kicking this one off?
We're going to take Tina.
All right.
What you have before you are the 2020 liens, revenue recapture, bad debt write-off for customer accounts, and the bad debt write-off for miscellaneous receivables. Andrea and I split this up, so I will let her address the two that she handled. I went through the liens for 2020, and we have 38 accounts that we'd like the commission to consider to send to the city of Wilmer for collection to be added to their property taxes. Almost 42,000 that we have here, this will all appears in the 90-day plus past dues. And these are property owners. So this will come off of their account and it will be turned over to the county and be collected with their property taxes. Do you have any questions on the liens?
Doesn't look like it.
Okay. And then the bottom one I handled was the 2020 bad debt write-off for miscellaneous receivables. All of these accounts, we have gone through, between Andrea and myself, all of our accounts, and within the miscellaneous receivables, I'm requesting that we write off $34,000. It is an accumulation of 22 accounts dating back to 2015. A number of these were automobile accidents, and the people are not in the area. They never responded to any billing, and it would be hitting a light pole or damage as such. And collection efforts have been exhausted, and so I'm also requesting that we write off that amount.
Doesn't look like there's any questions on that one either.
Okay, and then I'll let Andrea take the other two.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Okay, for the 2020 revenue recapture submission, we submitted 53 accounts for 22,000, almost 23,000. And those would be inactive accounts that have moved away and had been properly notified of the process. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. And just an FYI, right now we have $121,143 on revenue recapture, a total of 333 accounts that are sitting in there. The 2020 bad debt write-off for customer accounts, 10 accounts totaling 3,600, and those are ones that are inactive. We never had a social security number, so we're unable to submit to revenue recapture. No forwarding address, no phone number, no email, no means of contact. So that's what those 10 consist of that we're requesting for write-off.
All right, this is kind of an annual procedure. I guess I'd ask, is there anything that's unusual or that stood out this year that's different than what we've dealt with in the past?
Oh, sure.
Just the accumulation of them.
Okay.
One thing with revenue recapture, the statute of limitations is 6 years. So after 6 years, we have to pull them off, whether or not we've gotten payments. If they voluntarily make a payment to us, then that starts over that 6 year limitation. So
okay.
We just have to really watch those that are sitting there and remove them when they're ready. And at that point, I would say we would consider them uncollectible. We haven't through that process.
All right. Thank you.
There's probably one other note worthwhile mentioning, the difference between liens and revenue recap. As Chanel alluded to, liens go under property taxes, so eventually we will get those dollars. Even if people are delinquent under property taxes, eventually they will come in. When property is sold, county takes over the property, resells it. So it's just a matter of time with our liens versus revenue recap.
Thank you for those updates, Commissioners. I'm looking for a resolution for approval to have the liens passed on for the city to place the liens on these accounts.
So moved.
Have a resolution. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a resolution and a second. Any discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiason, if you could take roll, please.
Commissioner Weber.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Lammer.
Aye.
That resolution passes.
Matter of point of clarification, you indicated liens and revenue. Does that motion include the write-offs?
Yes, that'd be for the whole package.
Yeah, that's what how I took it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, next on the agenda, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security pen test update. Mr. Sandgren.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. So after our last meeting on the 14th, where we approved White Oak Security to do our pen tests, Department of Homeland Security finally got back to us. So after 2 years of waiting, I decided we probably shouldn't jump back on the list to wait again. So we are going to move forward with Department of Homeland Security to do our 2020 pen testing. I did reach out to White Oak, and to my surprise, the gentleman was actually pretty happy for us that we had this opportunity to use Department of Homeland Security. So he's okay with that, and we will use them in 2021 with the current statement of work that was approved last commission meeting. And testing will begin beginning of November. First week is external, and the second week is internal, and probably on site at this point. And that's about all I know right now.
Excellent. And we get to see what comes out of that and how it compares to the previous ones that we've had done. So
yeah,
this will be good. All right, Commissioner Lammer.
Is there a cost to that?
So everything I've read, this is free of charge.
Oh.
And I'm a little skeptical, too. I'm waiting for the hammer to drop somewhere. But
at this point,
it's free.
Good question. Any other questions from the commissioners? All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we have the recap from the MRES Municipal Power Leadership Academy. And I'll start with Commissioners Lammer and DeBleek with some updates there. Commissioner Lammer.
You could have put me at the end of the list, so there wouldn't be anything left to tell. I just, the governance part of it, I thought, of course, I'm always interested in that as to how we do our jobs here and where we do our evaluations. They talked about that, because a lot of them don't do anything like that, that we do the evaluations and that we act on it. I know now we haven't, we didn't do one, postponed it for a year, but that we act on them. And that was, you know, that we were in the minority of the people that did that type of thing. So to our commission, I think that we're getting that taken care of in a good way. That's the only part I'll report on, so others got. And I just want to say for myself, when you look at the things for this Leadership Academy where they talked about, you know, the benefits of Missouri River and on down the line, and the things in that governance policy, I as I said to John, I'm proud to be serving on the commission, because that all the things that they talked about, we're doing a good job along those lines in what we report and how we do it with our staff, you know, different things that I hope everybody can be proud of being a commissioner and serving the citizens of Wilmer.
Thank you. Commissioner DeBleek.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly good conference. I know, well, should say the first day I was kind of in and out with a Zoom meeting. It kind of makes it a little bit difficult when you got things going on. But I did pick up the cybersecurity, which is real informative and things that we should be dealing with our cybersecurity, and don't take it lightly. It's got to be, we got to make sure we're on top and keep our accounts secure and the like. But the second day, the governance thing, that was real interesting, and good review of a lot of stuff that been to in the past, being able to we need to do our self-evaluations and our staff evaluations at least on a yearly basis, if not more often than that, to see what we're doing, where we're coming from, and how do you keep a finger on how the company or the utilities is operating. And so I think it was very good in that aspect of it. And I do have a booklet, if anybody wants to take a look at it and look at some of the things. Everything that was presented in the Zoom is in the book, so that's about.
Thank you.
John?
Thank you. Missouri River, their mission and core value statement was part of the opening, and Missouri River's mission statement reads, "Missouri River is dedicated to supplying its members with reliable, cost-effective, long-term energy and energy services in a fiscally responsible and environmentally sensitive manner. Missouri River is an extension of its members, and through joint action, members will remain competitive while enhancing their relationship with their customers." And then the core purpose of Missouri River Services is to enhance the value of member utilities to their customers and their community. So that's our mission core value. A couple other things I'd like to touch on, just hopefully you find it informational. U.S. Solar deployment forecast. 2019 last year was about 13,000 megawatts. This year about 18, next year about 20,000 megawatts, and then 22, 23, and 24 pulls back a little bit to about 18,000 megawatts. So solar, we're going to continue to see solar and solar applications. Contributions to the city, investor-owned, They pay roughly 4.8%. That's mostly through property taxes. Some pay as franchise fee as well, but it's mostly property taxes. So 4.8. ABPAs, municipal, national medium, 5.4%. Missouri River member medium is 6.4, and Missouri River member average is 7.9. We are sitting between cash, streetlights, other contributions, we're sitting at about 11, 12. So we're well above the average here. Operating cash reserves, Missouri River medium is about 57, average is 75% of 1 year's. And our target, we're well over our target right now at 50, but we got some major projects where our policy is 50. So we're slightly underneath, our policy is slightly under the median. But right now, like you said, we're sitting with more than that. Electric vehicles, 3 cars is equivalent to adding 1 home to your system. So that's kind of an interesting stat. So every 3 cars, 1 home, which is what you see. Cost of solar, again, talked about that. That's continuing to come down. That's why we see more of it. Assume residential solar installation consists of 5 kW. Customer reduces their bill, and again, that's based on averages. $575 per year. Our members, utilities avoided costs is $400. Loss of $175 per year to the utility. If we have 10% of our residential customers install solar to that level, we would need a 0.5% rate increase to remain whole.
Just a question along the line as you're reporting there, John. I wonder what will happen with the electric vehicles with California saying everybody's going to be driving electric vehicles. I put that through and you won't be driving gas ones. And especially since they say that Minnesota is the little California. When they do that, what impact that will have on utilities as we go forward.
Yep, and so we're watching that trend. In fact, once a year we check with the Department of Transportation, see how many EVs we actually have in the zero. Just keep a pulse on how quickly the EV industry is building on. Then one last statistic, we always talk about our rebates and our Bright Energy Services Program. Why do we do it? Our Bright Energy Services Program reduces our demand, our KW. So basically it reduces our demand. If we would not be reducing our demand, we'd have to build generation. So it's an alternative to having to build generation. Missouri River, based on their rebates, their rebate programs, for every KW that we save through the rebate program costs $560. A peaking plant, a generator for peaking, costs $1,500 per KW. Renewables, wind is $1,500 a KW, solar is $3,300 a KW. So it's the least cost resource to promote our Bright Energy Services and continue to give rebates to our customers. That's the least cost resource for continuing to provide reliable power. So that would conclude the update, I believe, between Commissioner Lemire, Commissioner DeBleek, and myself.
Thank you. Andrew, was there anything you wanted to add?
Not really. It was just a good overview for me, kind of all new and relationships.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for those updates, and thank you to staff and commissioners for taking the time to participate in that. All right, next on our agenda, we have the Missouri River Monthly Board Meeting update. Mr. Herring.
Thank you, Chair Matter. I'd like to point out one item on the board update. It opens for me. Time of use. We have a hybrid of time of use rates now and very, very high level overview of time of use. As we have seasonal rates, we have 4 different rates throughout the year that we apply, so that's a real high level of time of use, but it's a trend towards time of use. The board had a rate study done. A rate consultant is recommending that they take the next step towards moving to full time of use rates, and now we're talking at the wholesale level. And they propose that, one, we need to do that so we reflect energy market prices. Two, align and promote beneficial shifting of usage, so try and get some of our power away from peak times as we hold those peak times today into some off-peak times. Probably one sector that we could do that with would be our EVs. You know, instead of having them charged this time of day, we'd be able to charge, you know, after the peak. But things like that, when we're talking about align and promote beneficial shifting of usage, balance with simplicity and reflect emerging trends. So the board is looking at shifting sometime in 2023 or January 1st of 2023 and July of 2021 through August of 2022. They will be sending us parallel bills showing us what our invoice would look like with the new time of use charges in relation to what we're paying now. When they look at all the members, of course, with anything, they're saying revenue neutral with that transition, but revenue neutral doesn't mean that anybody stays exactly where they are. Some might be a little higher, some might be a little lower, just depending on things like load factor, things of that nature will be driving that. So they're not looking at going to full-time abuse, as some may refer to it as, in blocks of, you know, hours and by the minute, some of the stuff you read in the paper, but they're looking at going to blocks within a day, like 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, you pay this rate, and then from 4 to 8, another rate, 8 through midnight or morning, another rate. But more to come on that, I'll keep you posted as we learn more. With that said, at the conclusion of the workshop here, I made a request to Tim Miller, the rate consultant with Missouri River, to put us on their list, hold a slot for us to do a rate study here in 2023 for us. So at that point in time, we can look at how do we want to approach time of use at a retail level, where we want to go with it. So when we had our last rate study done, they're booked out 2 years, and they're usually booked out two and a half years. They did not even provide us a cost with our last RFP here 2 years ago when we completed our study. So it's just a placeholder for RFP, but we're at least in their queue so that they're going to hold a spot open for us. So. Other than that, unless there's questions on anything else that the board had, outline in a summary on your iPads.
Doesn't look like any questions. Thank you for that report, and I'll let you continue with the general manager's report.
All right, thank you, Chair Matter. Office, as we know, 2 weeks ago, we sent out an email informing you'll get a COVID staff person test positive for COVID. That individual's back in the office doing well. Office is open as of this morning again. We open office back up, so hopefully we can continue that trend. Everyone else in our organization still remains healthy, so no additional signs of anyone else picking it up or being sick from it. So we're appreciative of that. Ben, I have noted a couple meetings coming up for the Labor Committee and Planning Committee. We have not received notice yet for union contract negotiations, but I believe that's going to be coming any day. And then when I get a little bit more information on how the industry is changing with accounting for carbon and the electrical industry, I'll be bringing that forward to the commission to see which committee we should bring that in front of. A year ago, we had it in front of the Labor Committee meeting, so I'll be asking if that's where we want to go with that again. But today, it's just heads up, it's coming, and when we get marketing material, then we'll have that in the packet before we go with it. So that would conclude, unless there's additional questions.
Thank you, John. Doesn't look like we have any questions. All right, anything else for the good of the order today? Commissioner Blake?
Yeah, are we going to be doing anything for Public Power Week? I think that's coming up next week.
For Public Power Week, based on the commission's recommendation to staff, we will not have open house due to COVID, but we have embedded
can. Account numbers was in our newsletter that will be going out this week, I believe. It's at the print shop as of Friday, so hopefully you see it this week. We'll have 10 numbers in there. If individuals call us, if they find their account number and call us, they will receive $50 credit. $50 credit on their bill. So.
Okay. Good question. Anything else? If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
We have a motion to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.